Open your Bibles, if you will, tonight to Matthew chapter 5. I'm pleased to have this opportunity to be here with you in this revival this week. And man, I was thinking back. Isaac's talking about me proposing to him. That's been a long time ago. I think he was 13 years old. I was 23 years old. I'm 48 years old now, just turned 48. That's been a lot of years ago. And I'm starting to feel it a little bit. I'm trying to stay young. I'm trying my very best to feel young, because I've got to, when I turned 40, I got something I didn't expect. I got another child, and so I've got a 7-year-old. So I'm trying to stay young because, you know, I've got friends my age that got grandkids the same age as my son, and you know, and so I've been trying to get in shape a little bit better. But I'm not doing a very good job, evidently. Well, the other day we was out and we were playing. Keep away. You ever play keep away? I was like, my kids call it monkey in the middle, and I was playing with my daughter Madison, she's 11, and Gideon. We were playing, and I ended up in the middle, and you know, I'm kind of tall and kind of hard to throw over. And then Gideon said, he said, just throw it down low. He don't bend over very good. So I don't guess I'm doing a very good job at staying young. Kind of hurt a little bit. I've been a little sore about it for a while, and but. Anyway, it's good to be with you. I tell you what, I'm thankful to have this opportunity to be with this church. I've got great respect for Calvary Missionary Baptist Church in Muldrow. I have for many years. So many friends here. I look out and I see so many friendly faces, people I know, people I love. And some of you I don't know as well. Hope to get to know you this week, and pray that we'll have that opportunity. You know, you've got great respect for you. You've got great respect for your pastor. And I don't always say nice things about him, but I really... He talks about me mentoring him, teaching him, but I think we've kind of come to the point where it's almost kind of turned the other direction. I feel like he teaches me more than I teach him now, but that's it. That's a one compliment for the week. But no, I'm pleased and have the opportunity to be with you this week. Friendly faces. Brother Steve, appreciate the special. And I've known Brother Steve most of my life. He actually came and heard my very first sermon I preached. I think I preached 12 minutes. And it's a... Don't get your hopes up. I don't preach 12 minutes any longer. When I first surrendered to preach, I still don't preach as long as Isaac because I don't know as much as Isaac. But I first surrendered to preach. I went to talk to my Uncle Rick. Now, actually, it was Uncle Charlie, not Uncle Rick. I got multiple uncles that are preachers. And I went to talk to my Uncle Charlie, and I said, I don't know that I can preach. I said, I don't feel like I know enough. This was his answer. Now, Uncle Charlie was a man of few words. And he said, just preach what you know. And that's what he told me. And so that's what I try to do, try to stick with what I know. It keeps it kind of short, but hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. I'm praying that it will. I know you've been praying for this revival meeting. And I know that you want revival to take place. But let me tell you what, revival is sometimes kind of tricky for our churches because revival requires something that sometimes we're not so comfortable with. Change. I preached a sermon one time at Landmark years ago, and I got up and I said, the subject of my message tonight is change. I just paused there for a while, looked out, and some people look excited. Some people look depressed. Some people look mad. And, you know, my dad, he doesn't like change, you know. I didn't say what the change was going to be. I just said it was going to be change. And I had all kinds of reactions. Some change is good, isn't it?
Amen.
Some change is not good. So, but we need to change. We need to be pliable. We need to be in God's hands where He can mold us and use us. And if you're going to have revival, you're going to have to be willing to change.
Amen.
For God to grow you into a place and do things with you that you haven't done before, to pull you out of a comfort zone. And I know we get in our pew and we've been in our spot. You know, if the folks at Landmark moved in different places and I got up there on Sunday morning, I'd be confused because I know right where to find everybody when I'm calling on somebody to pray. We like our spot, right? But you know, but there's some things that we need to get out of our comfort zone and let God use us in a new way. If you want revival, you're going to have to be willing to do that. And so I'm going to try to challenge you this week. Hopefully we'll have a lot of fun looking into God's Word together. And tonight as we look into God's Word, I want to talk to you about being a second-mile Christian. Being a second-mile Christian. Our text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. And if you're willing and able, would you stand with me for the reading of the text? Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 38. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we bow before you once again. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in this place and to just to be able to sing your praises and to study your word and, Lord, to be able to come to you in prayer. Such great privileges that too often we take for granted. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with me tonight as I present your word, that I present it just exactly as you'd have me to, for your honor and your glory alone. And Lord, that we might be challenged by your word, that your spirit might convict our hearts. And Lord, that we would be willing to change where change is needed. And Lord, that we would stand fast on the truths that you've called us to stand fast on. But Lord, that you might be able to mold us and make us into what you'd have us to be. Lord, bring revival to this church, to each life here, to this community. For your honor and glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I recently read an article by a guy by the name of Jeremy E. Sherman, Ph.D., of course. And this was in Psychology Today. And in this article, he stated that the secret to happiness, you ready, is low expectations. That's the secret to happiness, right? I mean, you know, your happiness depends not on how well you do, he said, but whether or not it's what you expected. Now, I think he might be onto something here. I think that we have a lot of this in our world today, right? I mean, I think our culture's kind of adapted this, you know, lower the expectations so we're not disappointed. In our society today, we don't expect marriages to last. We don't expect children to obey. We don't expect politicians to keep their promises. We don't expect workers to show up to work. We don't expect people to keep their word. In churches, it's filtered over into churches, right? We have low expectations. I mean, preachers today, we're just happy if our members show up. Not that they've done anything beyond that. If they just show up, we're happy that you're here. And we are happy you're here. But that's pretty low expectations. But, I don't know, maybe he is onto something. Maybe there's something here that we can just all be happy. You know, and it's really a shame that some of the folks in the Bible didn't know this, because Jeremiah would have spent so much time weeping if he had just lowered his expectations. Nehemiah, he could have been happy with just a wall half built. Right? I mean, you know, let's lower the expectations, lower the standards. But there's three big problems with that, lowering the expectations and the standards. Number one, it's a slippery slope. You see, because what are low standards today, or what are high standards today, were low standards a generation ago, right? And then they lowered them. And now that's our high expectations. What used to be commonplace in churches and in families and in schools, you know, what used to be commonplace and it was the very bottom of the line, now is great expectations for us, right? And so now that it's been lowered, we have to lower it a little bit more. And then it lowers a little bit more and a little bit more. And that's the direction we're going. So we're on this slippery slope with lowering expectations. Number two, the second problem in this is there's not going to be much accomplished. Not going to be a whole lot of growth, not a whole lot of impact in the community for your church when you have low expectations. But the third problem with this, and it's a big one, is it's not our standard to lower. Amen. It's not our standard to lower. God's word is our standard, and we develop our expectations based upon God's word. You got that? We develop our expectations based upon God's word and His standard for our churches, for our families, for our lives, for how we conduct ourselves in our workplace, for every aspect of our life, we, according to God's word, not just lowering it. Have you ever noticed that Jesus always raised the standards? He always raised the expectations. We find in the previous verses here in this chapter. If you look back over there in verses 20 through 30 or so, you'll see there multiple times it talks about different things, and it talks about how he said, you've heard it in the old time said that you're not supposed to commit murder. But he said, I say unto you what? That if you're angry with your brother without cause, you've committed murder, right? It also says in verse 27, he says, you've heard it said that you're not supposed to commit adultery. But what did Jesus do? He raised the standard, didn't he? He said, but I say unto you that if you look upon a woman to lust, that you've committed adultery in your heart already. Jesus raised the standard. Now, understandably, when you look at the New Testament, you can see a difference because in that age of grace, the New Testament age, there wasn't the same penalty for breaking the commandment. They didn't take you out and stone you. But Jesus raised the standard. Now, my friend, I'm going to tell you, if revival is going to take place in your individual life, in this church or in this community, we're going to have to raise the standard. And that's exactly what we see Jesus talking about here in this text that we're looking at tonight. Jesus is trying to get them to raise the standard. Raise it up. Be second mile Christians. As we look at this, I want to look at three very simple points. The first thing that I'd have you to see is the calling of the Savior. Look at verse 41 again. This being our key verse. And Jesus said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. If you've been compelled to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. That's what it says. Now, what's he talking about here? What Jesus is talking about here, first of all, is a law of that land of that time. Now, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, they were under Roman rule. The Romans had conquered this area, and they were under Roman rule, and they were under Roman law. And so they came in, and they allowed the Jews to keep some of their culture and some of their laws, but they ultimately had the hand over the Jewish people. And part of that Roman law was that if a Roman soldier came along, and you were a Jewish person there, and a Roman soldier came along and said, here, I want you to carry my burden or carry my pack, you had to do so. But the law required it for 1 mile. 1 mile. Now think about this for a moment. Let's put yourself in that position of one of those individuals, those Jews that was compelled to carry this pack. And here you are, you're getting ready for the day. You know, you got all the kids situated and you're taking care of this and you got getting ready to go to work. You're getting all your stuff together. You got a lot of things to do. Maybe you're going to the market to sell some things, whatever it is, and you're gathering all your stuff together. And right in the midst of your busyness and trying to get things accomplished, because you got a lot to do and you got to provide for your family, here comes this old Roman soldier. Comes along and he says, hey, Jew, carry my pack. By law, you got to carry it. You got to pick it up. And some scholars believe that from the workplace or from the home place that they had marked out exactly what 1 mile was, and that once they got to that mile marker, they'd come to that place and they'd say, there it is. Not a step further. That's all I have to go. That's all the law requires. I'm going one step further, and that's it. And that was the law. And Jesus says, when that happens, don't carry it 1 mile. Carry it 2. What? Why would he say that? Carry it 2. You see, what Jesus was trying to do and what he was calling them to here was a higher level of living. Now, you need to get this because we've forgotten this today in Christianity. To a higher level of living. It's been said that we respond in 3 different levels. When dealing with other people, there's 3 different levels on which we respond. One is the hellish level, when you return evil for good, and there's people like that today that are just evil, and doesn't matter how nice you try to be to them, they're going to respond in evil. So there's evil for good, but then there's also good for good. This is where most everybody's at, you know. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You want to get ugly with me? I can get ugly. Right? I'll show you what mean is. You mess with me. Brother Mike Watkins already threatened to hurt me tonight. I don't know what that was about. But the human level, that's the human level. So there's the hellish level, there's the human level, and there's also the heavenly level. This is where we repay or respond good for evil. Isn't this what Jesus said to do? Amen. Love your enemies. Pray for them that persecute you. Do good to them that treat you wrong. That's what God calls us to live on that level. And we see this when you look at verse 39. It says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, I'll tell you what I think this means. And there's debate on this, but I'll tell you what I think this means. Brother Isaac, stand up here for a second. Now, I don't think this is talking about self-defense. I think that we're supposed to defend ourselves, and if we don't take care of ourselves and our family, you know, I think we have that right. I don't think that's what it's talking about. But it says smiting on the right cheek. Now, most people are right-handed, right? If I'm going to smite Isaac on the right cheek, it's going to be like this, right? A backhand. I don't think this is so much of an attack and an assault in saying don't defend yourself. I think this is an insult. It's an insult. Thank you. You go ahead and be seated. I wouldn't hit you. Yeah. I think it's an insult. And we, you know, my pride, wait a minute. My pride can't take that. Right? You know, and you ever heard the statement, you know, if you argue with the fool, it's hard to tell who the fool is? You see people getting into a big skirmish or a big fight or a big ruckus at work, and, you know, and then people on the outside, they don't care how it started, right? You see? Call us to a higher level. You see it in verse 40. In verse 40 says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Again, this is kind of difficult, I believe, to understand, but I don't think it's talking about being robbed. When it says here, it says that they're sued. This is a legal matter. And if in a legal matter you are found to be in the wrong and you have to pay, it says don't pay the minimum. Isn't that what Jesus taught to Zacchaeus? Right? He said, Zacchaeus, he said, if you've done somebody wrong, he said, pay him back, what, fourfold. You see, that higher level of living, this is what Jesus is calling us to. We have lowered the standards today, and therefore we have removed the saltiness of Christians today, and we're not impacting our world like we once did. Amen. Because we've lowered the standards, and we may just be a smidgen above the world. Some of you may have seen this illustration before, but talking about how Christianity has moved in relation to the culture and to the world. And I'm sorry, Brother Isaac, I'm going to make you come back up here. You thought you were going to set this one out. See, here it is. I'm a Christian. Isaac's the world. He's the culture. And I want to keep arm's distance from him. I don't want to be like the world. All right? Now, God's over here. So I don't want to be as bad as him. I want to be closer to God than he is, right? But this is where I want to be. Now, the culture's gotten worse, right? Worse and worse and worse. And it's moving further away from God. And here I am. I'm still arm's distance from the world. I'm just a little bit better than the world. But look how far I am from God. You see, and that's where it's at today. We've lowered the standards. We still want to just be a little bit better. We don't want to be quite like the world. But, you know, hey, I don't want to be a radical, over-the-top, crazy one of those kind of Christians. I don't want that standard to be up here. I want it to be down here. So the calling of the Savior is to higher level of living. Amen. We see not only the calling of the Savior, but we also see the commission of the saint. You see, if it's God's calling, it's our commission. You got that? I think sometimes we forget this. You know, God's given us his instruction to obey it, to do it. Not just hear it. The Bible says in the book of James that if we hear his word and we don't do it, we deceive ourselves. You're lying to yourself. You go out here tonight and say, hey, good message, preacher. I appreciate that. And you don't change anything in your life, you've deceived yourself. You've deceived yourself. James says it's like looking at yourself in a mirror and seeing what needs to be fixed and not changing anything. I looked in the mirror this morning. I didn't necessarily like what I saw, but I looked in the mirror. And I looked in the mirror to see that I need to shave my face, need to comb my hair, need to brush my teeth. There was a purpose. And I changed. Change. Right? Now, if I go look in that mirror, and I don't change anything, and I walk away, and say, well, it's a good thing I looked in that mirror. Why? You look into God's Word, and you come in and you hear messages, and you say, oh, boy, that was convicting. But you don't change anything. You've missed the point. You see, if it's God's calling, it's our commission. And it's only in that second mile living that God is really honored. I want you to understand that. The Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now listen, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. You know what that is? got to go to church. Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We don't be like those folks because we're still an arm's distance away from that world. So, but we're going to go. It's grievous, right? Got to read my Bible. Got to go to visitation. Pastor Isaac's been pestering me by coming to visitation, right? It's grievous. That's first mile living. That's first mile Christian living when the things that God instructs you to do is grievous. That's carrying that pack that first mile. I'm only going to carry it as far as I have to, and then I'm putting it down. I'm not going any further. I've taught this Sunday school class for 15 years. I'm not teaching it one day longer, right? That's first mile living. God's not honored in that. Amen. You can look this up later, but when you look in Luke 17, you'll find in Luke 17 there, you'll find a parable, and it refers to an unprofitable servant. But what it says about that unprofitable servant, it says that he has done his duty. But that's it. He's unprofitable. He didn't do anything beyond what was required. And the Bible calls him unprofitable. We know Matthew 23 tells about the Pharisees. They were legalistic, weren't they? They were not profitable. They didn't honor God with that. It was all about just what had to be done, just going that first mile. You see, when we follow this commission, we worship the Savior, and we witness to the sinner. Now, let's go back to that guy. There you are. There you have that Jewish young man. He's got his family he's trying to provide for. He's got to carry this pack, right? Now, but instead of getting to that mile marker and saying, that's it, I'm not carrying it a step further, he keeps on walking. And he walks, and he walks, and he walks that second mile. He gets to the end of that second mile, and that Roman soldier says, I've never had anybody carry it beyond what they were required. He said, why did you do that? He said, well, you know, I used to be like that. I used to be the guy that would just go the 1 mile, and that was it. I wasn't going a step further. But then I met a man by the name of Jesus, and he changed my heart, and he taught me not to just carry it 1 mile, but to carry it 2. Let me tell you about Jesus. You see that? You can witness in the second mile. You can change people's hearts and you can change people's lives in that second mile. 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23 says, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Don't you get that? And this I do for the gospel's sake. Why am I doing this? Why am I carrying this as extra mile? Why am I responding different than the world? Why am I living like this? Because I want to worship my Savior and I want to witness to the sinner. And in that second mile, you can do that. You can't do it in the first mile. You can't do it in first mile living. It doesn't work. Heard about a young soldier. He was there in the barracks, and he had been taught to pray at night at the foot of his bed. And so he got down on his knees, and he would pray at night, and the other soldiers would mock him and make fun of him. You know, hey, preacher boy, pray for me. Make jokes and laugh. One soldier even took his boots and threw his boots over at him while he was knelt at the foot of his bed praying. The next morning when they got up, the soldier who had thrown his boots at the Christian young man found his boots at the foot of his bed, polished and waiting on him. Made a difference. All of a sudden, the boy that was throwing his boots and making fun now listened to the other soldier as he shared Christ with him. You see, that's second mile living right there. That's when we respond and we react in a different way than the world does. Romans 12 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And it goes on in verse 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Second mile living, you can overcome evil with good. So we see the commission of the saint. And third and lastly, We see the consequences of the second mile. Very simply, the consequences of second mile living are twofold: success and satisfaction. Now, we like those things, don't we? Success. Now, most any area of life, you're not going to be successful in just that first mile, are you? I mean, think about it. You know, if you take someone that's at work, the clock watcher, you know, all right, it's about time to quit, you know, and I got my foot out the door, right? He's not likely to excel at his career, is he? He's a clock watcher. Going to go that first mile and not a second further, not a mile, not a minute, not a step further. What about school? Students? Is the one that's really good, I mean, a bare minimum. I'm not going to do one thing more than what I'm required to do, and that's it. No, not success there. What about sports? I like sports. Is it the guy that says, I'm going to be at all the required practices, but not a throw more, not running anymore, just that required? No. And folks, it's the same in church work as well. But how much more valuable, how much more important it is. And listen, if Calvary Missionary Baptist Church is really going to make a difference in this community and really impact this community for Jesus Christ, it cannot be filled with first mile church members. Amen. It's got to be second mile Christian living. And when you go that extra mile, and there's something different about that group over at Calvary, they talk about Jesus and it's real. I've seen it in their lives. I've seen what they do. I've seen how they act. I see how they respond. And there's something different about that bunch. And I want to know what they've got because I want it. That's what second mile living will do. Bring success. It also brings satisfaction. Think about that old boy carrying that pack, right? He carries that first mile. Man, drops it there at that last step of that mile. He's mad. He stomps all the way home. He's upset. I mean, it's just been a miserable. My day was ruined. I had everything planned out. I was well on my way to accomplishing a lot of things. This Roman soldier comes home. He goes home and yells at his wife. The wife yells at the kids. The kids kick the dog, you know, and everybody's unhappy, aren't they? Don't laugh too hard. That's been your house a time or two. Right? But now that second miler, it's different. He goes home. Honey, how was your day? Well, it didn't start off like I had planned, I'll have to admit. I had my day planned out, and all of a sudden this guy comes along. But then as I was taking those steps, I remembered. I remember what Jesus said to me, what he told me to do. And I realized that as I started walking that second mile, with each step it just got a little bit lighter. You would think after walking that far with it, everybody got lighter as I walked. Because that second mile, he's not walking as a slave. That second mile, he's walking as a servant of God. It's lighter. And so now he comes back and he says, so it didn't start off the way I wanted to, but hey, I got to talk to this guy about Jesus. And it was a great day. And the whole dynamic of that home has changed because of a second mile Christian. So I ask you tonight, are you living a first mile life? Our second mile life? Have you lowered the standards? Just low expectations. We won't be disappointed that way. Low impact, disobedient, but low expectations. How are you living your life? Are you willing to go the second mile? Let me tell you this in closing. You live to serve one that went the second mile for you. Jesus went the second mile, didn't he? I look and I try to understand why Jesus would choose to sacrifice himself for people like us, and I don't understand it. It wasn't even required, but he chose to. He chose to. And it's he who calls us to this higher level of living. Listen, don't try to just keep your arms distance from the world today. Don't look for that mile marker that says, I'm not going to go past this mark. You've pushed me too far. Be willing to turn the other cheek. Be willing to give more than what you're required. Be willing to step beyond what's comfortable, what you've done in the past. Why? Because Jesus calls you to it. I'm asking you to stand as the musicians prepare for an invitation. Now tonight this is directed, of course, primarily to the Christian and how we live our life. Because that's where a real revival is going to take place. Because when God's people get revived and get energized, then you're going to reach the community and there's going to be ultimately more souls saved. Now we're praying for souls to be saved in this meeting, and if there's someone here tonight, we want you to accept Christ as Savior. But we've got to have this church turned and changed in the direction that God would have you to go. That's where it's got to start. But let me say to those tonight that maybe perhaps you do have questions about salvation. You say, I don't know. I think I might be saved. I'm not sure whether I'm saved or not. The Bible tells us in 1 John that these things are written that we may know that we have eternal life. I don't have to doubt that. I don't have to worry about that. There's a lot of things I don't know about, but I do know that when I die, I'll spend eternity in heaven. And it's not based upon the fact that I'm good, because I'm not. It's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is. And I put my faith and trust in Him. If my salvation was based upon my goodness, then I would have every reason to doubt. But it's based on the goodness of God. And you can have that assurance tonight. If you know you're a sinner, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. But God commendeth or proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then you can call upon Him for salvation. You need to be saved? Be saved tonight. Trust Christ as Savior. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life, bar none. Best decision you'll ever make. If you've been saved, don't lower the expectations that God has given you for your life. You live that second mile Christian life to the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow before You, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word tonight. And Lord, forgive me for the times when I've neglected the opportunities that have been put before me to serve You. When I've acted like the world rather than following the leadership of Your Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, I pray that You would guide me, guide each one here tonight to a higher level of living. Lord, help us develop our expectations based upon the standards and the instruction of Your Word. Lord, that we might live for Your honor and Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 577.